Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
Well, welcome to the Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Here we are on Friday. It is Friday, February 26th. February is quickly fading into the rearview mirror. Monday, it's a leap year, by the way. Leap year, so February 29th will be Monday, and it's just unbelievable how fast this time moves along. And then, of course, we move into Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday is Tuesday, March 1st, and boy, a lot of things will be made known then. We've got nearly a quarter, actually right at a quarter of the delegates available for the Republicans on Super Tuesday. Then, of course, we had this debate last night, which we'll talk about in a minute, but just wanted to start off the show by saying that you can, of course, connect with me. Send me questions if you have comments or any news stories that you'd like to see discussed on this show. I'd love to hear them, love to see them. Email address, todd@toddhuffradio.com. And you can always connect with me on Twitter. Twitter handle is @toddhuffradio. It used to be @commonsensegear. You can still connect with us there, but that's really not the right account. It'll direct you to the new one, @toddhuffradio. And as I mentioned yesterday at the end of the show, we've been, look, I'm not a social media specialist by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I don't know. I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with social media. I love connecting with people. I'm a face-to-face guy. I talk on here every day. This is what I do. This is how I communicate. This is how I prefer this. I'm not a guy that likes to read comments, often from screen names or people that I don't have any idea who they are. I don't know if it's generationally, if I'm older than I care to admit. I like the tool of social media to connect, but not all the mechanics. I use it as a means to an end, which is, you know, to build relationships, to get people involved in the conservative movement, or to engage, to ask questions, to challenge, to learn. I like all of those aspects. I do. So I've been trying some new social media outlets. I've been trying a new one called Anchor. I'm on Snapchat. How crazy is this? Snapchat. Of course, Facebook. We're posting our blog to Medium. And my whole point in telling you this is you know, we're just trying to continue to grow this community. We've invested, I gotta tell you, and starting something like this, I knew nothing about what it took to produce something like this, say a year ago, say 9 months ago, maybe. And my family and I went on vacation, and this is something that I have thought about doing for quite some time. I've had two things in my heart that have, I don't know, that have been pulling me for a long time, and one is ministry, Christian apologetics work. The other is something like this, which is advancing the cause of conservatism, fighting, engaging in the fight against the ravage effects of liberalism. What we see coming with socialism, when we hear Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and just all of the angry groups of people that are looking for others to solve their problems, their ills. Just the divide, and we have fun on here, and we poke fun, and we stir the pot a little bit, but at the end of the day, I believe what we talk about on here. I believe that the principles of conservatism, and of course the principles of Christianity, God and the Bible, these things make for a happy and healthy individual. These things make for a happy, healthy, and prosperous economy. I'm not saying just because you're a Christian, things don't go well. In fact, Sometimes things don't go well because you are a Christian, depending where you are. And it's not really that way yet here in the United States, but moving more and more that direction, where they're silencing us, where they're, well, there's all sorts of things coming. I don't want to get into that right now, but the point is just because you've embraced these principles does not mean it's easy. In fact, starting this is a difficult, time-consuming process. I love the challenge, but it's difficult. It's difficult to connect, to find a way to get your show in front of as many people as you'd like. And we've been growing. We're now on Red State Talk Radio, which is fantastic. And the folks over there are great. Primo's been fantastic to work with. I've met a guy by the name of Cowboy Don, who has a talk show out of somewhere in Georgia. I think he's about 60 miles west, he said, of Atlanta. I met some fantastic people. If you're listening on Red State Talk Radio, there's a show that comes on after mine with another conservative talk show host. And I've connected with him. There's a lot of good people in this community. And the message that we're trying to communicate is that we need to return to what made America great. I mean, it is Trump's theme, make America great again, but there are specific things within that statement, within that slogan, that will help restore us to that greatness. And those are the things that we discuss and talk about on here. So I am so glad that you've joined us. It has been nothing but it's exciting to do something like this, and it's a true pleasure to have you. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you that join us. So wanted to start off today by talking a little bit about this debate last night. And look, as you know, we're down to five candidates on the stage. The five candidates being Ben Carson, John Kasich, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump. Now that's a lot easier to do than when there were, what, how many, were there 10? 9 or 8, 9, 10 on the stage at one point in the past, and it was kind of hard to remember all 8, 9, 10 candidates. Now we're down to 5. You could even say we're down to 3. In fact, I would maintain that we're really down to 3. 3 that are in position to where they could win, and you could even make the case, and Donald Trump supporters will do this, that we may be down to 1. We may be down to the 1 candidate who's going to be the Republican nominee. Think whatever you will about that. That's not a comment in favor of or against. That's just a statement of something that may be reality. But we saw a variety of ideas bantered about on the stage last night, on the debate stage. You know, and we jokingly, I give the Democrats a hard time. They give us an old white guy and a Clinton. And the old white guy is Bernie Sanders, the nutty professor. He's a self-avowed, hardcore socialist. In fact, I'll post this to the show notes if you want to check it out. Saw this on Twitter last night, I guess. Some liberal, some socialist on Twitter sends this out. I don't even know how it gets to me. I don't know if it was a... I don't know how it ended up on my feed, but I saw it. And it says, her comment was, "This is the most brilliant..." I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if she used the word brilliant. "But this is the most brilliant thing I've ever heard from any politician ever." And it was Bernie Sanders' plan on climate change. And I started browsing this thing. And it's what you would expect. It's your fault that the earth is getting warmer, that the sea levels are rising, or whatever they say. You're melting the polar ice cap. So am I. Just by virtue of getting up and being American, hopping in your SUV or car or what have you, turning up your thermostat to 70 degrees in your house or whatever you do, it's your fault. And because of this, I mean, we cause all sorts of things from this. Now, this is what they tell us anyway. I think this is a bunch of nonsense. But this thing, this page, this website, this plan goes on quite a ways. You've got to scroll down. I mean, I think I had to take a break from rolling my mouse pad down. I was getting a cramp in my finger. This thing goes so long, and it talks about nothing but government solving your problems, solving our problems. And of course, what are you supposed to say? What are we supposed to say? That we want to see the sea levels rise and wipe out villages in South America or in Africa? I mean, you've seen politicians that have tied climate change to what? Prostitution in Africa. Ironically, these same goofballs have a difficult time tying Islamic terrorism and Islam together. But they can tie that together. So this is what we're up against. And Hillary Clinton, Hillary's a socialist too. I don't care what anybody says. Hillary is a socialist. Now, Bernie Sanders is just louder and prouder about it. The nutty professor gets up there, finds the 30-year-olds that are in mom's basement. They're playing Halo until 3 a.m. They don't have a job. They get free education, or they're getting whatever they're getting, student loans that Bernie's promising to eliminate, whatever Bernie's promising them, which is anything they want for free, because by virtue of being born in America, apparently you have a God-given right to whatever you desire at the expense of someone else. But on our stage, my point is the Democrats, there's not a lot of diversity there, right? Of course, there's not superficial diversity, which is what matters to them, and we talked about that. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I guess this is so obvious to me. The patronizing left, they lecture us about things that truly don't have any significant impact. It's not a real problem as far as the superficial diversity that they seek in every aspect of their lives. All that matters is our gender, our race, our sexual orientation, our ethnicity, blah, blah, blah. It's so boring, it's so predictable, it's so meaningless. Most people don't go around even caring about this stuff. And for those that do, they're being minimized and diminished more and more every day. Now, I don't want to group together, you know, colors of skin and backgrounds and ethnicity and lifestyle choices. But the bottom line is, the Republican Party has more superficial diversity. Even though we're still told that we hate blacks and we hate minorities and we hate Hispanics and we've got to somehow buy their votes by toning down our position on, say, border security or what have you. I mean, are we ever told that the Democrats need to tone down their position on abortion, even though that there's a huge Catholic pro-life community within the Hispanic population? Are we ever told that? No. No, that doesn't matter. They've got free reign to do whatever they will because they're buying votes. It's what they do. They buy votes. They found a loophole to where they can legally buy votes. But on our stage, we've got John Kasich, who sometimes, I have to be just candid with you, I feel like he should be on the Democrat stage sometime. I really do. And there's some things. He came out and sounded like a conservative last night. I will give him credit. But we have John Kasich, who sounds like really that he just believes he can manage the problems of America better. He believes that the fundamental changes that need to take place, like, say, a Ted Cruz believes, when Ted Cruz starts talking about abolishing the IRS and taking on the Washington cartel and all this, you don't hear John Kasich say that. John Kasich thinks that we can just manage it better, that it's mismanaged by an inept, incompetent Barack Obama and Democrat Party. I don't happen to agree with that. I think that they're moving us towards a direction they want to go, which is something that calls for people to have so much angst and so much personal difficulty within their lives economically. So much strife that they look to the only place that they're told they can look, which is the government. I think the left intentionally grows the government. They want power. They want control. They like the allure. the allure of socialism, of big government. They think they know better than you. They think you're an idiot. They think I'm an idiot. And they think without them, we would be totally helpless, like a fish out of water. So on that stage, we have a John Kasich. We have a Ben Carson. Look, and these two, in my opinion, I mean, if they make it past Super Tuesday, that's going to be miraculous to me. It really is. I mean, Ben Carson, I know, is struggling financially. He spent a lot of money, and he's not had a lot to show for it. I mean, Ben's a good guy. I think this is a sincere, solid, peaceful, godly man. I've got nothing but praises to say for him regarding the type of person he is, the type of character he has. He is well thought out, well spoken, well articulated, but he is not connecting for whatever reason. You know, you and I, we may not like that, whatever, but it's not. And his numbers are going down, and I don't see him surviving much longer. John Kasich is hoping to get into his home state of Ohio and win some delegates there. But that's not even clear that'll happen. In fact, I think Trump, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think Trump may have been ahead in Ohio now. Not sure. Had to check that. But it's a lot tighter than I think Kasich had hoped. But I don't see Carson. I don't see Carson surviving, although he did have a funny line last night. Look, they didn't give Carson and Kasich much attention last night, the debate moderators. And look, I mean, the others, that's the action was with the others. I mean, the others have a lot more support. The others, I mean, there was a lot going on there, a lot of bantering. I mean, for those that don't like how politics gets intense, they didn't like this. I mean, it got intense at times. In fact, there were some points where it was Trump was sandwiched between Rubio and Cruz attacking him on both sides. And Trump was giving it back. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying that this is, it's down to three candidates in my estimation. And you can make the case it's down to one. Now, what throws the wrench in the gears here is still, well, I still think two things. Number one, there are some states, especially say Texas, that could impact things. And if folks drop out, say a Rubio drops out, or let's say a Cruz drops out and Kasich and Bush, you know, we do have to see what happens with that vote. Can the last two people pull that support to them, or is it going to go to Trump? If it goes to Trump, and if the field dwindles, and if Trump can get up to 40 and even 50%, this is over. This would be over. It's not yet. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the time to make a move is shortened. That being said, you'll see now that the Rubio campaign has bantered about the possibility of a brokered convention. They tried to sell their donors and some big players in the Republican Party on that recently, and we'll talk about that when we get back. So anyway, I've got to stop and take our first break. When we get back, we'll get into that a little bit more about the debate. So you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Be back in just a minute.
Red State Talk Radio. Talk radio the way the founding fathers would have done it.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-614-7180. 800-614-7180. 800-614-7180. That's 800-614-7180.
In 2014, my family's insurance premiums increased dramatically. In fact, our premiums were going to cost more than the average American's monthly mortgage payment. I guess the Affordable Care Act isn't all that affordable. With three kids under five and a stay-at-home homeschooling mom, we had to start looking for other solutions, and fast. Enter Samaritan Ministries and their biblical, non-insurance approach to healthcare needs. Like you, we were skeptical. But let me tell you, we absolutely love being members of Samaritan Ministries. It costs us much less to participate in Samaritan Ministries than to buy health insurance. Plus, it's easier, much more efficient, and other members actually pray for us when we have a healthcare need. My wife and I both love Samaritan Ministries, and I wholeheartedly recommend it. Go to toddhuffradio.com/healthcare to learn more and to download our special application. If you complete that application, you'll get a $50 credit on your first bill. Go to toddhuffradio.com/healthcare to learn more and to download the application today. Hey, welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. You know, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the debate last night and just the difference. What we see on our stage, we see differing ideas. We see hardcore constitutional conservatism coming from Ted Cruz. We see a moderate, somewhat conservative in some areas position from John Kasich, where he thinks that he's better at managing the federal government than a Democrat would be. You see Donald Trump, who comes in with some bold moves. Mexico is going to pay for the wall, even though the president says they're not paying for the blanking wall. Trump says you better believe they're going to pay for that wall, and it may be 10 feet higher now. Did you hear that? I don't know if you watched this or not. Look, a lot of you, I wasn't going to watch this. I mean, I feel like I follow this so closely. I've watched almost all of these. To me, I mean, my decisions, there's nothing I'm going to learn really new that's going to change my mind personally. I just watched to see the dynamic between Cruz, Trump, and Rubio. And Rubio, by the way, when it started, I looked at my wife and I said, man, he looks nervous. I said, I bet in his mind he knows he has to go after Trump. And he is not looking forward to doing this. In fact, I don't mean this disrespectfully. He looked nervous to me. He looked really nervous. Now, once the exchanges started flying, which didn't take long, he and Trump were going at each other pretty hard, and Cruz and Trump were going at each other pretty hard. I think Rubio loosened up and handled his own. Trump kept attacking him. You know, that was a disaster 10 days ago. You were disastrous, disastrous, disastrous. You kept repeating yourself. It's embarrassing. I can't believe you're even up here on stage. It's so embarrassing. And Rubio said, I heard you repeat yourself 5 times 5 seconds ago, which I love that line, by the way. And Trump acts like he doesn't repeat himself. Are you kidding me? Look, I think Rubio, it's amazing to me how these things stick to people. Someone came up with the brand. You know, the idea to brand Rubio, it was Christie, through that exchange here, whatever it was, a week or two ago, a couple weeks ago, where they said, Rubio doesn't believe what he says. He's a robot. He keeps repeating himself. Even though Christie's attacks on Rubio were just as planned and robotic as Rubio's responses. And then I've got Trump. Trump wants me to believe, like him or love him, hate him, what have you. Trump wants me to believe he doesn't repeat himself? You've got to be kidding. That is not a serious position, Mr. Trump. I mean, there's a lot of things that I like about what Trump has done for this entire process. Not an endorsement, not anything like this. I'm just saying he has emboldened the Republican Party and I think some of the conservatives. I think that they've benefited from this. I do. I'm not saying that they were weak before that. I think that they've seen in action that you can walk through the fire if you are standing by your guns, if you don't back down. Not to say, look, Ted Cruz has stood up on principle many times. But Trump is just has a boldness beyond compare to me. And you know, I like Cruz a lot. I like Cruz a whole lot. And I think Cruz is very solid, very sound. I think Ben Carson, I think these guys are very principled. I don't think they're going to bend or break. I don't. But Trump has a different aspect, which is the in-your-face, I'm not intimidated, I'm not going to back down, I don't care what you think about what I say, I'm going to keep arguing it until I convince people and get people on my side. And he's been successful at that. He's not done it through the traditional, you know, let's be respectful and just continue to make our point. Sometimes he throws the insults, he gets aggressive, whatever. Like it or not, I'm just saying he's been effective at that. And he has gotten, in the process of doing this, he has gotten diehard supporters to the point where I don't know that there's anything he could do or say to sway them. I mean, I watched the debate and I thought, in my estimation, and I try to look at this objectively, I think Cruz did very well. I think Rubio did well. I don't think Trump won this debate. I don't think Trump did poorly, but I think Cruz had him cornered on a couple of things. I think Cruz's questioning basically got Trump to say, number one, that the federal government was going to fund at least a portion of taking care of people through health care. And there was another thing that I'm drawing a blank on at the moment, but there were a couple of things that Trump or Cruz got Trump to admit to. Oh, the other thing was he said, you know, what years are you being audited for? I'm not necessarily a big proponent of this. You have to show your taxes, your tax returns. This sounds a little bit like the Democrats to me. To me, it's not necessarily anyone's business. I mean, in today's society, we've made it everyone's business. But keep in mind, we had to pass a constitutional amendment to have a federal income tax. This wasn't historically everyone's business. But anyway, he got Trump to say he didn't even know what years he was being audited for. That's a tough one for me to swallow, even though I know Trump has a lot of things going on. I think you would know at least which years you were being audited for, because Cruz said, well, then send out the other, provide your tax returns for the other years. But regardless, Trump won the debate in the eyes of most viewers. I did not see it that way. But look, that's just what people see. That's what they think. Maybe they think he's the winner. Maybe they like his style. I mean, he did fine at portions. I'm not saying he didn't. I don't think it was by any stretch a debacle. But anyway, guys, I've got to stop and take another break. We'll get more into the debate when we get back. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. See you in just a minute.
Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for Todd's free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Go to ToddHuffRadio.com/newsletter to sign up today.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have two credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow. 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
Call Consolidated Credit right now for your free debt consultation. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by New York Department of Financial Service and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation, Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.
Looking for a very special, one-of-a-kind gift? Celebrating an anniversary or birthday? Having a baby? Planning a wedding? Graduating? Or maybe you just want to add a custom, handmade accent to your home, business, or church decor? Whatever the case, visit ToddHuffRadio.com/art and take a look yourself. Trust me, guys, the special lady in your life will absolutely love this. Each piece of custom chalk art is specifically made for you by our extremely talented program partner and includes high-quality artwork and beautiful handwritten calligraphy. I'm telling you, this is very cool stuff. In fact, we love it so much that my wife and I recently placed an order. So visit toddhuffradio.com/art to take a look. And for a limited time, save 10% by using special offer code ARTWORK during checkout. Again, visit toddhuffradio.com/art and enter code ARTWORK during checkout to save 10%. But hurry, this offer is only available for a limited time. You know, I was thinking here over the break, looking at few notes that I had about the debate last night. But what do we make about all this? Trump was under a lot of pressure last night to give specifics about his plan to replace Obamacare. Trump spoke in favorably about having some sort of an individual mandate, meaning that everyone has to have insurance. And then they say, well, how are you going to replace it? What is going to be your alternative to Obamacare? And he says, I'm going to erase the lines around the states, which is important, by the way. Look, and let me say this. Anytime, I think in presidential elections, let me tell you a quick story. When I was in school, when I was in college at Butler University, and I spent a semester at American University as well, when I was, that was in a semester exchange program where we spent a semester. It was a justice, I think it was a justice program. It was kind of a, I don't know, like a pre-law sort of program, but regardless, when I was in school, we would have these mock debates. I was a political science major and a philosophy minor. And we would have these mock debates where, I guess you would say mock like sessions of Congress, where we would, different people of the class would represent different groups of people. You know, the liberals, the old school Republicans. I don't even know the groups we had, but I was the conservative. Surprise, right? And I remember in the class, you know, the professor would say, well, okay, Todd, your job is to articulate the conservative position here. I'm like, that sounds fine to me, no problem. And I don't know what the issue was at the time, but it was about, you know, the issue was laid before the class, laid before this mock Congress, and they said, now go ahead and give the conservative position. And I said, well, the conservative position is this isn't the government's business. And my professor said, well, no, that's not right. I'm like, no, that is right, actually, because it's not the government's business. This should be left up to the states and to the people. This is not the job of the federal government. Of course, I think they thought I was trying. They don't understand conservatism is number one. They really don't. They think conservatism is all about making people live as Puritans, taking over their personal lives, telling them they can't do things that candidly they probably shouldn't be doing. But nonetheless, there's not something that I, you know, we're going to go enforce laws on. So when I would say the conservative position is to not get involved, I don't know if she thought I was trying to find the easy way out, which I was not, if she thought I was out of my mind. But the starting premise, this is the point, the starting premise in those classes were always, what is the government going to do about X? And lost in this whole thing is that the government should not do anything unless there is a very specific reason why they should. And that's why we have the Constitution outlining those things the government should get involved in. And they're enumerated. They are numbered. They are specified. The things that the government does today is much, much greater than what we find in that document. And as such, I spent most of my time trying to convince my professor that I was actually right, that this was the conservative position. Anyway, so with that frame point, with that picture in mind, fast forward to the debate last night when Donald Trump was questioned about his health care plan. What are you going to do to replace Obamacare? You know, you say all these things, but what does your plan look like? Trump says we're going to erase the lines around the states, essentially meaning we're going to allow competitors to not be arbitrarily or governmentally blocked from selling their product, their service, what have you, across the line. So if an insurance company in Massachusetts wanted to sell its product in Indiana or vice versa or whatever, whichever states, he's going to say, we need to eliminate those lines. And he's right. We need to eliminate those lines. Allowing the market, I don't even like to say allowing the market, because it starts with the premise that the government can say can tell the market what to do. In reality, we are the ones that can tell the government what to do. We're not exercising this right. In fact, we're letting others abuse it, using it so that they can use the government as a blunt force instrument to force others to do things, to give them things that they want. This is where socialism comes in. This is where I have, you have, we all have this so-called obligation to provide education or to provide government-paid health care or to provide fill in the blank. But the point is, Trump is right on this. And so the idea that the government, this is my point, and this is the reason I tied the analogy with me and the mock Congress, whatever, that I didn't in college. The starting point is, the premise is, the government has to have a plan to fix this. And I love it when someone stands up and says, the government plan should be to let the free enterprise solve this. The government plan should be to pass this back to the states and to the individual. The government, the federal government, is not going to fix this. And while John Kasich can think all he wants that a better plan and better management might make things better, what makes things better is a fundamental change in who's responsible and who's best suited to fix this. And it is, without question, the private sector, the market. And so Trump is right. I want to say off the bat, I love it when I hear these. In fact, I wish I heard it more. I wish I heard these things more, where they would say, look, my specific plan for this is not what's going to solve this. My plan is to eliminate the barriers. My plan is to allow the free market to be unfettered as much as humanly possible. Not saying that there's, you know, John Kasich last night kept saying the first thing he would say about the way that they dealt with businesses or whatever in his state is, we have common sense regulation. I mean, regulation is the very last thing I want to talk about as a conservative. Of course, there are some regulations, but they are limited. They are very specific. Yes, I suppose you could say that they're common sense, but they're used only when no other free market alternative can get you to that solution. And honestly, when they're enacted, there should be a method in place where we say, let's find a way to get from where we are now with this regulation out of it. Let's find a way for the market to provide it as quickly as possible, because that's the better solution every single time. So anyway, I got to stop and take another quick break. I want to get more into this because I think philosophically this is important. This is very important as to how we look at the role of government and how the government is looked at to solve problems, when in reality, it's the free market that's going to fix things. So you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. We'll be back in just a minute.
Want to hear our latest parody songs? Learn our famous talk show lingo, or listen to J-Dot's 3-in-3 classics? Visit ToddHuffRadio.com/fun. It's 100% free and 100% fun. All at the expense of liberals, of course.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-614-7180. 800-614-7180. 800-614-7180. That's 800-614-7180.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have two credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow, 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
Call Consolidated Credit right now for your free debt consultation. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516. 800-572-1516.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.
Hey, welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. You know, I've got to tell you, there are days when I look at the news and I think, man, there are so many things to talk about here, I don't even know where to begin. There's days that I prepare for the show and I think there's lots of things I could talk about, but I'm just not feeling it today. I'm not feeling the topics that are in the news. It's not struck a nerve with me. And then there's days when I think, as today, I don't really have, I just wanted to talk about this debate, but there were a couple of things, and one of them we're talking about now. But there is this issue about the role of government that really strikes a nerve with me, because this is really central. This is essential to our understanding of conservatism. This is essential to our ticket out of this mess. It really is. And so this has struck a nerve with me. So I want to get back to this. Donald Trump saying that we just need to erase the lines. And he's right. We need to erase the lines. And I love it, as I've said before the break, I love it when we can deflect and say, look, there is not a magic wand that I have if I'm president. I don't have a magic wand that says this is the system that we're going to establish to fix our problems. In fact, capitalism and the free market specifically states, you know, Adam Smith, the invisible hand, something happens where a group of individuals, a group of free people making their own autonomous decisions, the invisible hand moves things in the direction that the group of people want it to go. Meaning, if there's enough need, enough demand in the marketplace, someone will fill the need and provide it. I mean, that's just the way that free markets work. Now, it upsets the big government crowd because they think they need to control that. That needs to be planned out. But it's never that way. I mean, just look at iPhone. Look at Microsoft. I mean, there was not a government plan. There's articles. There's a story written about, the government. If someone was in charge of keeping pencils on the desks of people, you know, making sure that everyone had a pencil. Just managing that and all of the hands, all of the people who make, that put their work into making a simple pencil. It's a large number of people that are involved. And the idea that you can manage that, that the government can manage that better than market forces is just not, it shows a lack of understanding in free markets and capitalism in the American way. It's better for me to have a system that says, hey, I need pencils, and I go to Staples or I place an order online or I go to Walmart or whatever, Office Depot, whatever I do, and I order pencils. And it's better for the people that provide the pencils, that say Staples. Staples finds suppliers of pencils. Sometimes Staples may produce them. They'll outsource that. Sometimes they'll buy from another company. And then those companies all have people that provide them the products that goes into the pencil, the eraser, the lead, the pencil itself, the wood, what have you. The invisible hand puts these people together because they realize this person has a need. I can help fulfill this part so that they can get to the end result, which is a pencil for sale, a pencil on someone's desk that they can use. And so I love it when I hear this. But when pressed back as to what else he would do, Trump didn't have anything to say. He kept repeating, erase the states, erase the states. And that's when Rubio was beating him up on, hey, you're repeating yourself, don't get on me. I heard you repeat yourself 5 times 5 seconds ago. But there are other things, and I'm going to go through this quickly, as we're getting near the end of the week here. There are other things that can be done without saying the government needs to control them. There are still other barriers, I guess, that need to be removed from healthcare. And I'm just going to go through a summary of what the Heritage Foundation has talked about. And I'll link to this on the website, the show notes as well. Go to toddhuffradio.com and look at the show notes if you want to look at this. One thing they can do is make sure that market forces, not the government, not mandates, but market forces are the thing that allows people to determine the type of plan that they want, not what the government says I have to have. That needs to be fixed. There's also barriers the government could remove that allow people to create their own risk pools, or for companies to create new risk pools. That needs to be removed. That barrier needs to be eliminated. We need to look at reforming Medicare and allowing for private contracting of certain Medicare services. The way that individual plans and corporate plans, those that are provided by your company, if you get in health insurance through your company still, we can make sure that we treat those the same in a tax sense. You know, if you buy a private health plan, it's different than if your employer provides it, especially if you're paying for those with post-tax dollars. There's things we can do to make that to make it be treated the same on a tax basis. There might be ways for the promotion of portable health plans, meaning instead of your employer saying, as long as you work here, you have this coverage. Maybe they give you an allowance, or maybe there's a type of plan that when you leave, it can go with you. Who knows? If the market is unleashed, the market can find out that people want these plans to go with them. Employers say, hey, the reality is someone working here for 30 years is probably not what it was a generation ago. They want this sort of health plan, I'm going to provide it. What about letting states and nonprofits and churches and others, charities, create their own solution to providing for the truly needy, which there are truly needy. There are people that cannot provide for their own health care for whatever reason. Whatever the case may be, those that Trump say are dying on the streets, or that he would not allow to die on the streets, I agree. We shouldn't let people die on the streets. But the idea that the federal government is the best way to do that is not a conservative principle. It's not an economically tried and true principle. The best way is to let, I don't like to use the word let, but is for the states, the individuals, the charities, these other free market solutions to work. So it's more than just eliminating lines. There's other things that need to be eliminated, but Trump is right in the sense that it's not something that's going to be centrally commanded, that's going to fix, and like the snap of a finger, make your problems, make my problems, make America's healthcare insurance problems go away. So anyway, guys, I'm a little long in this segment. I've got to take one more break. We'll wrap up when we get back. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. We'll see you in just a minute.
Impressed by J-Dot's latest Eminem-inspired 3-in-3 beat? Can't get enough of his one-of-a-kind style? Well, there's good news. Visit toddhuffradio.com/fun to access an archive of J-Dot's hilarious and entertaining 3-in-3s today.
Do you have a liberal friend that you'd like to prank? Why not Gagalib? Visit Gagalib.com and anonymously pick a t-shirt to send to your liberal friend, coworker, professor, classmate, or relative. Upon arriving home in their Prius or bicycle, your liberal friend will find the special package waiting in the mailbox or on the doorstep. The t-shirt will arrive in one of our custom shipping tubes. Besides the mildly offensive t-shirt, the Gagalib victim will also receive an ever so slightly provocative letter in the package. But rest assured, this is all in good fun and is totally clean. The letter invites the Gagalib victim to guess the gagger, which is you, anonymously, of course. Any guess we receive will be forwarded to you by email. You can then decide to reveal your identity or remain permanently anonymous. Imagine the endless fun and possibilities of Gagalib. Visit Gagalib.com to learn more or to place your order today. That's Gagalib.com. Gagalib.com. In 2014, my family's insurance premiums increased dramatically. In fact, our premiums were going to cost more than the average American's monthly mortgage payment. I guess the Affordable Care Act isn't all that affordable. With three kids under five and a stay-at-home homeschooling mom, we had to start looking for other solutions, and fast. Inner Samaritan Ministries and their biblical, non-insurance approach to healthcare needs. Like you, we were skeptical. But let me tell you, we absolutely love being members of Samaritan Ministries. It costs us much less to participate in Samaritan Ministries than to buy health insurance. Plus, it's easier, much more efficient, and other members actually pray for us when we have a healthcare need. My wife and I both love Samaritan Ministries, and I wholeheartedly recommend it. Go to toddhuffradio.com/healthcare to learn more and to download our special application. If you complete that application, you'll get a $50 credit on your first bill. Go to toddhuffradio.com/healthcare to learn more and to download the application today. Well, those of you that are new to the program, you are probably just now getting accustomed to the idea that sometimes, and just sometimes, I run a little bit long in our segments, and I've got to adjust them. And I've done that today. Now, those that have listened for some time, they're laughing right now because they know that more times than not, I have gone over the allotted time that I've given myself. So we literally just have really right at 2 minutes here before I've got to wrap up for the day, for the week. So, you know, I guess the question remains to me, what happens? What happens now? Is there any way that this current cycle we're on, does it change? Is Trump going to continue to pull away? Can anyone catch him? And then you've got the factor of the broker convention, which we talked about before. I don't have time to get into it today, but essentially Marco Rubio's campaign got the big donors together, those that are in positions of power, those that are, you know, have money and so forth, and they're saying, look, we think that we can, you know, if we get down to a couple candidates, that we can keep this close enough to where Trump cannot win enough delegates to secure the nomination prior to the convention in Cleveland, Ohio, and I think it's in July. If that's the case, we enter into a broker convention. We've talked about this on here for some time. I'm not predicting it'll happen, but there is definitely the ingredients involved here to make it possible, which is there's a lot of candidates. Well, there were a lot of candidates. They've dropped out. There's the possibility of a lot of candidates. There are, you know, groups of people that are really against other candidates, right or wrong. I'm just saying the ingredients are right for a potential brokered convention. Now, what does that mean? Well, essentially what that means is when each state has its caucus or primary, the state assigns delegates based upon that state's particular rules, which have been set up months and months in advance. Actually, even I think in 2014, but regardless, once this is established, once these rules are established, that's how the delegates. Now, the delegates are individual people that are sent to Cleveland, Ohio in July to go through the formal process of nominating the presidential nominee of the Republican Party. Now, those individuals must, on the first vote, on the first go-round, they must vote in accordance with their state rules. Now, there are a couple of states that have what they call non-binding delegates, which means they don't have to – they can vote as they see fit. Those particular individuals, which I know is from – they are from Colorado and I think North Dakota. But once that first vote happens, and if no one reaches 1,237 votes, they'll have what they call a broker convention, and they can vote as they see fit individually at that point. So any candidate can win. But guys, I've got to wrap up. Have a great weekend. See you Monday. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.